for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 11th Annual Ladies Conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday morning, February the 17th, 2007. Amy Hobson is the speaker of this service, teaching on war.
You know, Connie said something about problems that go way back and how God is fixing things. I'm paraphrasing. There's a scripture in the Amplified, and I don't even know where it's at. But it says, continually unfolding the past until all be revealed. I'll have to look that up because it doesn't read like that. Thank you. Psalms 51. It doesn't read quite like that in the King James. Psalms 32. And there are things in us that we may have received prayer in certain areas. And I know why I sound like a soapbox because I say this almost every time that the ladies get together. But I just need to encourage all of you that are new and maybe have never been in a deliverance service before, never seen anything like this, came here like, Sister Davidson said they came because they were curious. You know, some of us have come because we were curious. But anyway, there are going to be times when the Lord delivers you in an area of your life and you rejoice in that, and you walk in that, and you get the victory after deliverance, because truly deliverance is the easy part, really. Walking it out and maintaining the freedom is the real test. But I want to encourage you never to discount the fact that if you're in a service and someone discerns something, and you may have already received ministry for something like that, don't say to yourself that I've already been delivered of that. Because there are layers. It's a core, and some of the things that God is wanting to set us free from and deliver us from so that His nature can come in, we can only handle a certain little bit. And He knows what we can handle. He is our deliverer. We may pray for one another, but He is the deliverer. So I just want to encourage you that, say for instance, you've had the curse of incest broken off of you. Praise the Lord. That gets the ball rolling. But if anyone comes and you're in ministry and someone wants to pray for you and they say, I discern something that has to do with incest, let them pray. Because there's something else there that God's wanting to take out and replace with Him. So, anyway, praise the Lord. Yes. Where is it? 32, verse 5. Oh, okay, thank you. This is the Amplified, Psalm 32 and verse 5. I acknowledged my sin to you. This seems really loud. I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I did not hide. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. Continually unfolding the past till all is told. Then you instantly forgave me the guilt and iniquity of my sin. Selah. Pause and calmly think on that. Amen? All right. Sister Jamie, I believe that we are ready for you and the riches of God that dwell within you. Well, I don't even know where to begin this morning. I do have this message here. But as I was sitting there, all these thoughts kept running through my mind about, you know, just I want all of you to be at ease. I want you to have a good time while you're here. But I truly believe that you came because you're hungry and because you want to know God
you want to know him. It's like Patty and I were sharing earlier. I told her, I said, I was so hungry for so long because I wanted to see the reality of God in my life. I didn't want to just hear somebody else's testimony and think, oh, isn't that awesome what God's doing for them? I just kept thinking, Lord, I want you to do something for me. And so then when he began to say, okay, here we go. I can remember I prayed for so many years for my husband. I was just a good little Baptist girl. And my husband was not a bad man, but he didn't really, I think, have it all together. You know, I mean, he didn't have his priorities right, was my thinking. And I can remember I just prayed and prayed and prayed, and I'd say, Lord, change him, change him, change him. Well, you know, he did. And he made him a preacher. And I said, well, God, not that much. Not that much. It just scared me to death, the idea that I was to be looked at by other women as the preacher's wife. Because I knew how I had looked at women, you know, preacher's wives. And, man, I just expected them to be so far up there and so spiritual and so, I don't know, it scared me. And for the longest time, I wouldn't even tell people that my husband was a pastor. Now, isn't that awful? But God has stretched us and he continues to stretch us. And for me to stand up here in front of you this morning is quite a stretching. I want you to know this has been such an awesome responsibility that Brother Glenn has asked me to come up here, and I've just thought, Lord, just remove me. Take me out of the way. I know that you're going to use my voice and you're going to use my personality to a certain degree, but I don't want to project any of my thoughts that are not backed up by your word. So what I want to speak on today is WAR. W-A-R. And my acronym for WAR is Waging Aggressive Resistance. That sounds more like an oxymoron, don't you think? Aggressive resistance. It sounds like just the opposite, but we're going to see. You know, when we became a Christian, we joined the army. And I think there's a lot of Christians out there that do not realize that they are in the army. They haven't really conformed to the rules. Okay? It says we're cast immediately into a spiritual battle, and we need a lot of training. Okay? But I don't want you to get all upset about it like I did, because we do have a manual with lots of instructions. The Word of God has everything in it, everything, girls. I don't care what situation or experience you're going through right now, God's Word has an answer for you. Okay? And you can run to your neighbor. You can run to a prayer warrior. You can run to your pastor. You can go anywhere you want to go. But hopefully they will direct you back to God's Word. Because it is your manual. It's what God gave you to direct your life by. That's your instructions. And I do want to share just one thing on my heart right quick. That this is really my heart's desire, is for you young ladies that have yet to begin, maybe, to walk with the Lord. I want you to know that if you will sell out to the Lord right now, don't play games, because God doesn't play games. He knows you inside and out. He knows your heart. He knows exactly what you're thinking right now. The doubts and things that Satan is throwing at you. So you just dig in there just as hard as you can. You get all you can from the Lord early. Early. And if you're not married, be sure and take that into your marriage. take all that knowledge into your marriage to begin to build your life on. Okay? It is our responsibility to learn the manual and to put on the armor correctly. So I'm going to use Ephesians 6, 11 through 18 as my text. And I'm a King James lady, okay? I think when you use King James, you have to use a lot of commentaries to go along with it, don't you? Because it needs a lot. But let's just read through this right quickly. It says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and on your feet shod with preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Lord, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Now, war in the dictionary is called armed conflict between nations. So, we're in the nation of God, and Satan has his nation. So, we are warring against the enemy. And when you join any branch of the service, like for the government, U.S. services, whatever, you come under the authority of the U.S. government. It is my understanding that you are put through some pretty rigorous training. I know if you've ever talked to any of these young boys that come home from boot camp, they can tell you some pretty horrible stories. But it's for their good. They're trained to be able to meet the enemy. Not only are you built up physically, I know we had a young man in our church that he was kind of a lot of baby fat and, you know, just a lot hanging on him. And when he came home from boot camp, he was slim, trim, all muscled up. He was a mean-looking character. But he was prepared. They were preparing him for battle. And they also prepare them mentally. They have to change from that young, innocent boy that they were to a different mindset. They've got to be learn how to go against the enemy. They give you a plan of action. They train you in your weapons of combat. They teach them how to suit up for battle. And they give them all the weapons that they need. So why would Paul instruct us to put on armor? Because we too have an enemy. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." So we've identified the enemy, the adversary, and it says it's not flesh and blood, but it's against all of these that we've just named. Now, these demonic spirits assist the devil. The principalities are princes in Satan's kingdom who have sections of this world under their control. This is government, political realm, and even the power of materialism. It's under the principalities. Powers are evil spirits that attack the thought life. Rulers of the darkness of this world, false teachings and false teachers. evil taking place in the world. Spiritual wickedness, this is in high places, evil spirits in the heavenlies. In verse 11 of our text, we are told to put on the armor that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And I had to look up wiles. I thought, well, that's an odd word. And it says, it's the methods of the devil, the different means, plans, schemes, and devices which he uses to deceive, entrap, enslave, and ruin the souls of men. So see, he's not a very nice person, is he? Okay? And I think that if we were to meet him face to face, and we knew who he was, he wouldn't have much effect on us, would he? Because we'd all turn and walk away from him. We'd recognize the enemy. And see, he's very deceitful. He comes to us with lies and deception. Okay? And he knows your weakness. This was from Adam Clark's commentary, and he says that a man's method of sinning is Satan's method of ruining your soul. And do you know that I'm pretty old, and I've had a lot of contact with a lot of women that have been in trouble, lots of different types of trouble. And whatever their weakness is what brought them down. Whatever their weakness is, that's what brought them down. His major plan is to keep us ignorant of God's word. He does this through lies and deception. He makes sin appear like fun. He convinces us that, well, God might have meant that for somebody else, but not for me. I have a daughter that operates that way. And I have to keep reminding her that, no, God says it's sin, and it is sin. For you, for me, if God says it's sin, it's sin. Now, you can polish it over. You can gloss it over. You can let Satan convince you that it'll be okay. But it's not. It's sin. Okay? He doesn't want us to know that we're sinners. He doesn't want us to know that we need to repent of those sins. He doesn't want us to know that we need the blood of Christ to wash us clean. Okay? And if he can keep the message of the blood from being preached in the churches, in the sermons, in the ministry, then he's really pretty well won the war, hasn't he? Okay. And we all know from listening to the news that he's had quite an effect in our government. They're using, which commandment is it, y'all? Freedom to religion, or keeping religion church and religion separated, okay? They've really done a number on that. You know, they're taking the Ten Commandments down, they're taking prayer out of school, they're doing everything they possibly can to get this accomplished. So we know that he's not wanting the Word of God to get out, whether it be just a plaque that has the Ten Commandments up on the wall where someone might actually stop and read it. They don't want that there. They don't want that there. Okay, so once again, we've established that we've been born again, and we're going to put on the whole armor of God. And the armor consists of two types, offensive and defensive. Defensive is for protection. Offensive is to injure the enemy. And you know, when Paul was writing this, he was in the midst of the Roman soldiers, and he knew that all of the people, you know, they observed those men in their armor, walking around, taking care of the government's business. So he used that as a visual illustration. He's using something that the people can understand. And he says, to put on the breastplate of righteousness. And the word of, he says to, let's see, let's go back and start with 14, verse 14. See if I can get back to where it's here. It says, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." Now, the Word of God defines what truth is. In John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And John 17:17 says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." So the Word of God, the living Word, and the written Word form the Christian's girdle. Now, these Roman soldiers had a type of girdle that they put on that protected the loin area of their body. And upon that, they would place their, the rest of their armor would fit into that, like their sword. And I don't know exactly what all else they had, but we do know that they had a sword, okay? So if we don't put on the truth of God's word, then we're unprotected. We're open to demonic influence in our lives. And if we don't begin to put on God's word, so that's going to be our girdle that we put on, is the truth. We're going to, first thing we're going to do is we're going to begin to put on the truth. And then we're going to put on the breastplate. In the next one it says, "and having on the breastplate of righteousness." Now the breastplate was made up of layers of metal. It was just one layer that overlaid the other, and it protected the throat and the heart. And ours is to be of righteousness, the breastplate of righteousness. Now the righteousness of Jesus needs to be applied to us. The character of Jesus, the layering on of his holiness, his purity, and his integrity, his love and mercy working through us. And if you want to, I'd like for you to turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. And I want to just read that because I think it applies to the breastplate, the righteousness that we're to put on. It says, according as his, I'm reading, starting with verse 3, "according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." That's powerful, ladies. That's powerful. Layer these things. Protect yourself with all of these wonderful promises that God has given us. It says, "Wherefore, the rather, brethren, giving diligence to making your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, ye shall never fail." Never fail. Okay. All things. In the beginning verse, it says, all things. Nothing is missing. Nothing is missing. Godliness is available. It's attainable through him, because we no longer are worldly. When we take on the character of Christ, we're no longer worldly. We don't relate to the worldly things anymore. We don't identify with them. They're foreign to us. they should no longer have a drawing on us. They shouldn't pull us back. So if we get pulled back, we're listening to a different voice, aren't we? Okay, in verse 15 it says, "And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." In this Roman armor that they put on, the feet were shod with military sandals. And some of these had platelets that came all the way up the shins of the legs. And these were to keep them from, if they could attack their legs, you know, they pretty well put them out of commission, because all of those were mostly foot soldiers. They were walking in this. So the soldier was protected. His legs were protected to keep him mobile. The Roman sandal had nails, kind of like I guess they do for the kids in sports. They have these cleats, is that what they call them, on the bottom of their feet? And these Roman soldiers' sandals had nails driven into them so that they could, even if they were having to march or stand firm in a sloping area, the things kind of, you know, at a slant, they could still grip the earth and they could still stand firm. Okay? So our feet are to be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The idea seems to be that the mind is to be steadied, kept from fear, by the means of the good news of peace. You know, if we're receiving the good news, if we've accepted Jesus, we've made peace with God, haven't we? That's what he came to do, to bring us back into unity with God. So, and if God be for us, who can be against us? If God be for us, who can be against us? So the good news of peace keeps us upright and firm. And do you know that we've been given the ministry of reconciliation? In this battle that we're going through, every area that we conquer, every place that we go, we're to take the good news. We're ministers of peace. I believe that's in 2 Corinthians 5:18. And in Isaiah 52:7 says, "How beautiful are the feet of them." How beautiful are the feet of them that bring this gospel of good news. Peace, bringing Jesus into people's lives. In verse 16 it says, "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." The shield was a large piece of metal that it had straps on the back, and they could hold it on their arm. And it was needed for the protection of lances that were thrown and arrows that were shot. And our shield is of faith, believing what God says is true. When those darts come, we're to lift that shield. And I have 1 John 4:4. "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." And when doubt and insecurities come, and you feel overwhelmed, you feel like that, I don't know what to do, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. Remember Romans 8:39. "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." And when fear comes in, I will have to tell you that fear has been one of my biggest obstacles. Biggest thing that Satan has ever put upon me was fear. I was kind of like Jerry. I had been made to feel very inferior in my childhood. And so I was always very fearful about everything. It didn't matter. I was fearful. Fearful that I wouldn't measure up. Fearful that people wouldn't like me. Fearful of this. Fearful of that. So once I learned that I can do all things through Christ, and in Romans 8:38 it says, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate me from the love of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I love it. I love it. You know, the accuser, Satan is the accuser of the brethren. When he comes and he tells you, well, boy, you've done it now. You know, I don't know how many times he has spoken to me and says, I can't believe you did that. You're a Christian woman. You're a preacher's wife. I mean, how could you have done that? How could you have said that? How could you have even thought that? Oh, man. Oh, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we all know these scriptures, but do we just quote them by memory or do we really believe them and do we apply them? Use God's promises to shield yourself when Satan comes against you with his fiery dart. I don't know about y'all, but as I was reading this and studying and everything, I got a mental picture. I can do all things. You know, raise that shield up. Talk to him. Talk to him. Use God's word to defeat the enemy. In verse 17, it says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The helmet was to protect the head. If they received a blow to the head, it usually caused instant death, or at least it addled the brain. I've been hit in the head once by a bat, and it kind of addled my brain. But it would more or less render these soldiers helpless. You know, they were no longer protected. It usually caused death because they knew how to use those weapons. So this shield was to hold it, you know, to the helmet was to protect the head. And the largest battlefield that we had, that Satan has in our walk, I believe, is the area of the mind. James 1:15 says, then when lust hath conceived, it bring forth sin. When it is finished, it brings forth. And the mind gives birth to whatever has been processed through it. If it was a lie from Satan and you believed it and you acted upon that, or if it was a truth from God. Are we watching TV and movies and reading books and magazines and newspapers? They only have worldly views and they're teaching their views through these movies. Books, whatever you might be listening to or reading or letting filter in through your mind, the mind's going to produce strongholds out of those ideas that have been planted in your mind. Maybe some of those things, I was watching something, just happened to be resting a little bit in the afternoon and I flipped on the TV and it was Oprah. And she had a panel of different ones. The only one I even was familiar with was the man that wrote Chicken Soup type thing. But she was touting a new teaching, I guess. It was called The Secret. And all of these people, of course, on the surface it sounded pretty good, and I may be misjudging it, but there was something in my spirit just began to, I thought, Lord, what is this? You know, what is this? And I may have to do some research on it because it really, my spirit began to be unsettled. And I thought, you know, the secret is Jesus Christ. What secret are they talking about? So anyway, even on Oprah, I think she does a lot of good, you know, and she's probably, but she also has a lot of things on her shows that we as Christians should not watch. We should definitely not let it filter in to our mind. Okay. So 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Do you know that thoughts are strong? They're persistent. They're daring. They come parading through our mind just like ants at a picnic. Have you ever thought about it? In my mind, I have had to literally, even this morning, I can't even remember what the thought was, but I was at the mirror brushing my teeth and this whole thought come filtering through, and I had to jerk my head up and look in the mirror and say, no, you will not come into my mind this morning. You will not. Okay? So we need to take those imaginations and cast them down. Bring them under the Word of God. You know, for every thought that's ungodly, you counter it with a word from God. Counter it with a word from God. In Genesis 6:5, it says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. I was just really blown away by that. I just could not imagine, but that's what God said. It says that he saw that the wickedness of man, that every imagination of his thought was evil. There was no good thoughts when God looked down. Imagining is creating a mental picture. And I'm going to step out and make this statement and believe that surely there's someone here besides me. When I was younger and overwhelmed by a lot of my responsibilities as a mother and a wife, and I would just sort of drift off. And I would begin to imagine my life as I wanted it to be, you know. I would imagine what was going to happen next week. I would imagine what was going, you know. And that was the way I dealt with those things. It was almost as though a spirit had entered in and I was like two little people. I could be in my little imaginary world living this wonderful life where my husband was, oh, he just loved me, and he was the most wonderful man in the world, you know. He didn't actually go to work and come home dirty and stinky and want me to feed him and all of those things. He was Mr. Wonderful. So that's what I was doing. I was allowing Satan to use my mind to take me out of the real world and learning how to really cope with those things. So imagining is creating a mental picture. And this is what those people were doing, I think, when God looked down. They were imagining in their minds all the evil, wicked things they could do. In Romans 1:21, it says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, that became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. They became vain, conceited, useless, empty. I was useless. As a Christian, I was totally useless because I had no witness. I had no life to really share with anyone else. As a Christian, I was just devoid of anything other than my little imaginary life, you know. I am so thankful that God brought me out of that. God broke that spirit off of me, and I was able to really seek out God and want to do what he wanted in my life. Proverbs 12:28 says, deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil. Who is the master of deception? Satan wants our minds on things that will feed our flesh and turn us inward, away from God. The mind has been likened to the parlor, the den, or the room where we entertain guests. Satan doesn't come in for a visit, girls. He's looking for a home. You know, you've heard the old song about the little boll weevil looking for a home. Well, I'm telling you, Satan is looking for a home. So do not entertain his thoughts. Okay? Don't make him feel welcome. Fight him. Tooth and toenail, as they say. 1 Peter 1:13-16 says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Protect your minds, ladies. Gird it up. You know, the loins refer to the reproductive part of our body. We don't want to let the thoughts of Satan impregnate us, do we? Because it'll give birth. It will give birth. So we want to gird up the loins of our mind. Protect our minds. Keep them from thoughts from Satan. Demonic spirits add persuasive powers to the lust and desires of the fleshly heart. When the old nature is stimulated by these spirits, we need to speak to them as Jesus did. It is written. It is written. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We are told to resist the devil. Resist him. Ephesians 4:23 says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The food for the mind should be the Word of God. Read the Word. Digest the Word. I know Kathy and I were talking about it on the way up here. I said, you know, it's like, I don't know that when this became real to me, but the Word of God is alive. As you read it, it's going to bring life. Life to your body. It is going to bring life. So the food for your mind, what you fill your mind with, should be the Word of God. The helmet of salvation is our hope for every soul. And the protection of the blood of the Lamb assures us that we have the victory. When the promises of God are appropriated in our lives, we are safe from Satan's thoughts and lies. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of the God, which is the Word of God, the sword, this was used in close combat because, you know, if you've got a sword, you can only reach so far. So it was for close combat. And it was also an offensive weapon too, but it was the only offensive weapon that Paul mentioned, but it was also used defensively too, because we defended ourselves with the sword. So you need to use the Word. It says, for the Word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Do you know that as you read the Word, it penetrates into your very being, and as you read that Word, it should speak to your spirit man, and it should reveal to you the things that God wants you not only to do, but it will reveal your true self. It's going to reveal your heart to you as you read that Word. your true thoughts of your heart. Like Jerry said last night, that out of the mouth, I can't quote that one for Jerry. Out of the heart comes out of the mouth. What's in your heart is going to come out of the mouth. So as you read the Word, it's going to reveal those things that are in your heart. And it must first pierce our hearts before it can become an effective weapon. We are to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It was the weapon that Jesus used against Satan in his time of temptation. When did Satan come to Jesus? When he was weak. And when we're weak, we should be just like Jesus. It is written. Whatever is coming against you, whatever is going on, you should speak whatever God has written to it. Bring it down with God's word. Bring it down. In Psalms 8, 2, it says, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightst steal the enemy and the avenger. And I am believing that every lady in this room is a child of God. And as his children, we should be able to speak out of our mouths the power that he gave us. He's going to give you the strength and the power to use his word as a weapon. And if we're truly submitted to God and under his authority, we will have the power to resist Satan. Remember, through Jesus, we have the victory. I think a lot of us, you know, we don't ever really establish that deep in our heart. I have the victory. I have the victory. Through Christ, I have the victory. So we need to really get that in our spirit, ladies, that we have already received the victory through Jesus. Okay? It says, in our text, Paul was writing to Christians, so we are given to understand that as Christians, we might be a prisoner of war. How many of you feel like you might be a prisoner of war? Okay, one honest lady in the bunch. I'm going to raise both my hands because I have. I've felt like a prisoner of war. I mean, this battle is, you know, I know people say, don't say that the battle for Christ is not easy, because it's not. It really is not. It is a war. It's a conflict. There are things that we are going to have to do with that. I'm not sure this is where it is, but I think this, I made a little quick note this morning that I think it's in Timothy. Yeah. Chapter 2 in 2 Timothy, it says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Christ. We're going to endure hardness as we walk through this world in this battle for Jesus Christ. We're going to have to endure some hard things. You know, there's some things that God wants to work out in each one of us. And so there are going to be some hard things. There's going to be some areas that we have to conquer. Some of us, you know, we're carrying a lot of luggage from our childhood. I know Jerry addressed that well, and I'm not going to go there too much today. But I do know that we do carry a lot of garbage, unforgiveness, fear, wounds, and hurts. And we do need deliverance from those things. To be an effective soldier for Christ, we need to get rid of those things. We need to deal with them, because they are going to sway us. Whatever has had an effect on you as a child is going to sway you. Your thinking is going to be warped. Your perversion of, I mean, you know, how you perceive things is going to be affected. So we need to get rid of those things. Some of those things are of our own making, through secret sin and through disobedience. You know that Christians, a lot of us can be pretty disobedient. When God tells us to do something and it really doesn't suit us, we just kind of, oh, well, that surely wasn't God. He didn't mean that. Or, you know, we're disobedient. And through disobedience, then we open the door. A lot of things have happened to us that we had no control over. And we need to address those too. Like aggressive grief. I know that I've lost a daughter. And it was one of the hardest things I ever went through. And I know that grief, the spirit of grief, had I allowed it, which I did for a day or two, I mean, you know, it really, it came in like a flood and it was hard to battle. But excessive grief, anger, there's a lot of things happened to me, and I'm sure there's a lot of things happened to you as children that caused a lot of anger to build up in you. And as a child, you know, we don't know how to deal with anger. We just know that we're mad, you know, we're hurt, we're wounded, but we don't, as children, we don't know how to deal with those things. We may have a bad example in our home, a father that beats and throws and has to have, you know, we may have a role model in that area, but that's not good. We want to learn to do it God's way, don't we? So, whatever has kept you in this area of a prisoner of war, we want to help you to deal with it. This is what this camp is all about. And I think that Sister Jerry and Doc deal with that very well this morning early. And then, of course, Jerry addressed it last night. But this is what the camp is for. It's for you to hopefully show you the way to help you get rid of some of the areas in your life. And I found, like I say, as a preacher's wife, and I had been a Christian since I was 12 years old. I truly believe that. I believe that God touched my life, and He had His hand on me that whole time, even though I was in a lot of rebellion, and I was in a lot of doubt, I was in a lot of fear, a lot of areas that I, you know, didn't really understand how God could help me with those. But Sister Kathy and Sister Ida Mae, and she can testify to this, it's the truth. I ran just as hard as I could. I didn't want any part of that. I just, it was just too scary for me. See, I was very fearful. That spirit of fear kept me from deliverance for a long, long time. A long time. But the Lord just kept working with me and working with me. And He was so gracious to me when I finally said, okay, Lord, you know, I'm going to do what You tell me to do. Because I knew that Kathy and my husband, he was persistent. He kept bringing Brother Frank and Ida Mae and Kathy. He'd invite them to the church to have a deliverance service about once a year. So he was very persistent. But anyway, I can remember I was sitting in the bathroom one morning getting ready for church, and the Lord just began to open my eyes to the things that Satan had kept hidden from me for so long. I had already got my mascara and everything on, and I was just a basket case. I said, Lord, I don't have time for this. What is it going on, you know? But He was preparing my heart. He was showing me those things that I was going to have to let them minister deliverance to me, to clean me up, get me to that point that I could really step out in what God wanted me to do. I'm going to mention this scripture in 2 Timothy in the same chapter, if you're still there. It says, no man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. I didn't read that part right. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. So, when Jesus saved you, He chose you to be a soldier. Okay? So, right now, I just want us to go into a prayer time. We want to just ask the Lord to minister to us this morning, okay? Father, we want to hear only from you at this time. In the mighty name of Jesus, and by the power of his blood, we ask that you remove from this place any hindrances, any spirits that might be speaking to the minds and the hearts of some of the women here, telling them that this is not for them. Father, just open their hearts to look deep and to see the things that might be hindering them from walking with you. Father, prepare them for the battle ahead, Lord. Just open their hearts now, Lord. Holy Spirit, just move in this place now. Move in this place, Lord. Father, you know that I have only spoken the words from your word that you have placed on my heart to share with them, Lord. I want to see these moving people, these women move out of this place refreshed. Father, I want them to walk out with power. I want them to walk back into their homes and their husbands, their children, the people that they come in contact with. I want them to see that there's a difference. There's a change. I want them to see that, God, you are real in their lives. Right, I want you to say with me now, let's just speak to the spirits, all right? Let's speak to the demonic spirits that might be hindering you. And we want to take authority over the strong man. We want to bind him in Jesus' name. We are going to spoil his house this morning. Spoil his house. We take authority over the spirits that have entered in through these doors. Maybe at your job, there's been a boss or a co-worker that has hurt you, maybe a boss that has not really given you the raises, the promotions that you deserved. Address that now. Address it. I want you to do this, ladies. I can pray for you. Jerry could pray for you. Kathy. What is your name? Carla. Ethan Carla. I love that. Those just instant mental blocks. Know this lady for years. but you know, we could pray for you, but you need to know yourself that this has been done. Looking for the scripture. It says, I can do all things. You can take authority over these spirits that are dealing with you. Take authority over them now, just like Jesus did. It is written. Right? Spirits of bitterness, spirits of anger, spirits of envy and jealousy. Right now, in Jesus' name, cast them out. He has given you the power and the authority. You no longer have to entertain those thoughts, those things that are deep inside of you. Cast them out. That's what Jesus did. He says, cast them out, and he's given us the authority and the power to do it. Mental impurities that you've allowed into your mind through TV, movies, books, even pornographic material. It's out there for women, too. Acts of impurity, fornication, adultery, any of these things that have attached themselves to you. Cast them out. Overindulgences, obesity, anorexia, bulimia, all of these things have come from Satan to destroy your body, your temple that houses the Holy Spirit. Okay? Stay with me now. I tear down any demonic stronghold that has attached itself to me because of these doors that I opened. And in the authority of Jesus Christ, I cast them out. Amen. Amen. You feel ready for war, ladies. Okay, remember, waging, carrying on the battle, but you got to be suited up properly, okay? Aggressive, moving forward, gaining ground. Resistance, opposing the enemy. Okay, let's give God the glory. I asked Jane to come and play a little chorus for us because I think it's really appropriate for right now, and I want this to be your theme song when you leave here. Okay? And thank you again, ladies, for bearing with me as I struggle through that, okay? It's all God's doing, I tell you. He's a wonderful God. He has blessed me mightily. I'm praise Him. Stand with us.
Get up and face the enemy. Get up and face the enemy. Get up. Self-sufficient and satisfied. Get up and march in the army of God. Get up and face the enemy. Get up. Don't be self-sufficient and satisfied. Get up and march in the army of God. Put on all the armor of the Lord. Put on all the armor of the Lord. Be fully clothed and ready to fight. Get up and march in the army of God. Put on all the armor of the Lord. Put on all the armor of the Lord. Fully clothed and ready to fight. Get up and march in the army of God. Get up and face the enemy. Get up and face the enemy. Don't be self-sufficient and satisfied. Get up and march in the army of God. Put on all the armor of the Lord. Put on all the armor of the Lord. Be fully clothed and ready to fight. Get up and march in the army of God. Get up and face the enemy. Get up and face the enemy. Don't be self-sufficient and satisfied. Get up and march in the army of God. Put on all the armor of the Lord. Put on all the armor of the Lord. Be fully clothed and ready to fight. Get up and march in the army of God. Get up and face the enemy. Get up and face the enemy. Don't be self-sufficient and satisfied. Get up and march in the army of God. Put on all the armor of the Lord. Put on all the armor of the Lord. Fully clothed and ready to fight. Get up and march in the army of God. Get up and face the enemy. Get up and face the enemy. Don't be self-sufficient and satisfied. Get up and march in the army of God. Put on all the armor of the Lord. Put on all the armor of the Lord. Be fully clothed and ready to fight. Get up and march in the army of God. Be fully clothed and ready to fight. Get up and march in the army of God. Be fully clothed and ready to fight. Get up and march in the army of God.
Patty's informed me that it's time to eat again, girls. So if you'll bear with me, let's pray over the food and let's ask God to bless it, okay? Father, we do thank you for this morning. Lord, you are awesome. You are wonderful. Lord, I just love you this morning. Father, thank you for these ladies. Father, what a blessing they've been to me. Lord, I just pray that your word go forth now. Be with us. Be with our food. Father, we bless those in the kitchen that have prepared it. Father, just anoint them with, they're just such precious people. Lord, they are so precious, and we know that you love them. We do. Father, just bless our food now. Just make it nourishment for our bodies. Father, our time of fellowship in the dining hall. Just bless it, Lord. Let your grace and love pour forth out of all these beautiful ladies. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.